Words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I have a short little message I want to share today. It has meant a lot to me in these last few days as God just took an old word, an old phrase, and just revisited it with my heart. But it kind of coincides with the story of one of our priests. This trip that I just went on to Africa, there were 10 people who went with us. Besides me, so there was 11 in all. And one of the priests who went was from Idaho. His name is Father Mark Finley. Really good man, godly man, who's really been on a radical pursuit in the last year or two of his life as a 60-year-old man to make sure he's entered into the life that Jesus lives fully. And so in this trip to Africa, it was fun to watch him because you've never been to Africa before. And the kind of trips that we do are work. It's just not sightseeing. Sometimes we find ourselves in certain places in Africa where there are beautiful sights, but we go there to minister. We go there to pray for people, to stir their hearts up, to also live the life that Jesus lives, for Christ-likeness, to stir up revival. And so we, in the midst of traveling, and which is a lot of traveling in the country of Uganda, we ministered 6 full days. But we ministered more than that, but there were 6 full-fledged days. And early on in the ministry time, Father Mark was kind of caught off guard, like most people are when they first go, just the incredible poverty and the desperate need they have, but also the openness they have to Jesus, because they don't have a backup plan like Americans and Westerners do. They don't get caught up in the American dream. They're not worried about whether their 18-year-old gets a date to the prom towards the end of spring. There's no such thing as a prom, and they're just surviving and living, and there's a lot of spiritual warfare there. And just watching the conflict with him and talking to him about it, and he was just working through just some of the things he was feeling, and a lot of that was, again, just spiritual warfare that he had not encountered at that level before. Because we weren't just there doing stuff. We were going after to destroy the works of the devil in people's lives. As for those who are CTKers, I mentioned Sunday, in 1 2-day period, and we try everything we can to verify what's happening. And we had over 1,000 people get healed in a 2-day period. And in all, over 1,500 people get healed. And some amazing things that people got healed of. Every person we prayed for didn't get healed, but about 97%, 95% did. Because they're just desperate. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. So they enter into the reality of the kingdom. They receive what Jesus wants to do very easily. Because of desperation. And I was talking to Father Mark last night, and what was interesting in how that period of time is actually a 13-day journey with six and a half days of intense ministry. He said, I just found myself flying out, leaving the airport in Entebbe, just going, God, I want to come back. Because he saw so many things happen. In the end, the Jesus of Revelation 6 revealed himself. It says he came conquering and to conquer. And no matter what the enemy throws at you, if you just keep going at it, even with just mustard seed faith, eventually you'll be encouraged. You get over the hump because Jesus is conquering. And he came to conquer and destroy the works of the devil. And he and Luke got to minister a lot together, praying for people. And he saw so many amazing things that happened. He was telling me, he said, Bishop, when I came home, he said, Sunday, my deacon's wife had injured her knee really bad. And she could hardly walk, and her knee was real swollen. He said, I prayed for her, and the swollenness just disappeared while I was praying for her. And she was totally healed. Flexibility, strength, no pain. And it just was amazing to him. And one of the reasons I take teams over there is they'll catch a glimpse of what Jesus can do. Americans and Westerners are hard to minister to because we have so many backup plans. We're stubborn. We're governed by our logic. And then there was another lady in his church who had a bad back issue, and she was totally healed. And he was just blown away at just this life that Jesus invites us to participate in. I thought about this scripture from Mark chapter 2. The words are spoken in other places in the Gospels. But it says this in verse 13. And he went out again by the seashore, and all the multitude were coming to him, and was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And what blessed me about this is that we use those words all the time, teachers, about following Jesus. And we think of that in terms of just going after him and committing our life to him and radically obeying him. But I believe this word is better translated like this. And in the Message, the translation called The Message, it translates it this way. And as Jesus passed by, he looked at Levi and said to him, "Come along with me." And then Levi, it says, rose and accompanied him. It just carries a different idea to me. It makes it make more sense to me. It's so simple. Jesus didn't just say, "Follow me." He said, "Why don't you come along with me and participate in the journey and the adventure of the life I'm calling you into that I live? I'm just going to just come along with me, and you're going to find yourself in all kinds of situations and circumstances and opportunities that I orchestrate, and just come along with me and see what kind of life that is." And it just blew me away. It ministered to me so much. And then I remembered that place in John chapter 1 when the first few disciples sort of separated themselves from John the Baptist. They were John the Baptist's disciples. And John had declared Jesus as the Lamb of God, and so they began to go with him or come behind him, follow him. And they asked him this basic question. They basically said, "Well, Lord, where are you headed? Where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." He didn't say "see" and then "come." "See, if you can see, I'll explain it to you, and if you like it, then you have a choice." He just said, "Come and see for yourself." And they did. One of them was John, the apostle, the beloved. And I think those two things really represent what it means, the calling of God on each of us. That Jesus says to each of us, "Why don't you just come along with me? Today, you don't have to be afraid. Just come along with me. I know exactly where I'm headed. Just come and see." Because we do that, don't we? As we start moving into things, it kind of gets blurry, a little bit dark and scary. We're like going, "Okay, Lord, where are you headed here? I've come along with you, but where are we going?" Jesus just says very confidently, "Just come and see. Come and see. Just trust me. Don't be afraid. You're coming along with me. I've already laid it out. This is the life I live, and I've invited you to be a part of that. So just come and see. No fear. Don't try to figure it out. Just come and see and participate in what I do in each of the places we arrive to." That's the Christian life. Is we have all these deep things and deep teachings. It's not very complicated. It's Jesus Christ saying to you and to me, "Just come along with me today. Nothing to be afraid. And just accompany me, come along with me, and just come and see. It'll be something you've never imagined. Because the thing I do, everything I do, is supernatural, transrational, amazing adventure. It's life and life more abundantly. And I've just invited you into that." In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.